This morning, if you take your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 8, and we are going to be looking at the end of the chapter. Acts 8, 26 to 40 is where we're at. I want to see what Luke has to tell us this morning about the early church and what God was doing at this time. So if you have your Bibles, let's stand and for the reading of God's word. Here's what he writes. He says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. And in his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?' And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we come to this passage, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. You'd help us to understand and to see what it is that you want us to see. But more importantly, Lord, more than anything, help us to hear your voice and to see that you are a God who is as personal as it gets, and that you are calling us and you're asking us and you're encouraging us and desiring of us to be a people who are getting personal with others also. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to this passage, I'm really encouraged by these stories of Philip. Two weeks ago, we were in the first portion of this chapter, and one of the things that we noticed and we found out about Philip was that he's one of those guys that was picked in Acts chapter 6 to be making sure and helping with the distribution of the food to the widows there in the early church. And what we're told about him is that he was supposed to be, these guys were supposed to be men of good repute and full of the Holy Spirit. And so he's one of these guys, and as the story goes on at the beginning there of chapter 8, we find that as the church is continuing to scatter because of persecution that is breaking out and taking place against Christians, the ones who are going, and the means by which this is happening, is not through the apostles. They're the ones who are staying in Jerusalem, but it's by everyday people, just like you and me, who are going out and making a difference that God was using, and the church was continuing to grow. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to be encouraged that God isn't one who is far off and that he's uninterested in our lives, but rather that he is one who is involved in our lives, that he cares very much, that he is intimately involved more than we know, that he is a God who is personal. And he's calling us to make it personal as we are faithful to the mission that he has for us of sending us to go and to being his witnesses. Here's what we're told happens in this passage. Remember, God's been doing some amazing things in Samaria where Philip has just been and where we find him in the beginning of this chapter. He's ministering and he's proclaiming the gospel. And we don't know how much time has passed between verse 25 and 26, if it's like been a while or not. But we're told that an angel shows up and tells him, "I want you to go and head south to a place that Luke calls a desert place." Sounds great. Sounds like the kind of place that you want to go, right? Out to the desert. What we've just been told is that God has just used Philip as part of the way that he's working in a place there in Samaria to see a lot of people coming to faith in Christ as he's proclaiming the gospel. Things are going well. It says that a whole city is experiencing rejoicing because the gospel is being proclaimed there and people are coming to faith. And now, Philip, what is he being told? He's like, I want you to leave this place where a lot of great things are happening, where there's like this revival that's taking place. I want you to leave there and I want you to go out into the desert. You know, it's like, okay, God, what are you up to here? I don't know how many of you have been to the desert, maybe been out to Death Valley in the West, or maybe there's some other desert that you've been to. Maybe you haven't been to a desert, and I just want you to think of a desert. Like, I don't know, what do you think of? Do you think probably maybe sand, dry, hot? I guess it could be cold. It's no vegetation. There's no water around. You don't want to get stuck there kind of place. It's not where you think there's going to be a lot of evangelism going on, right? It's the desert. Probably not a lot of people there. You might even call it the kind of place you don't really want to go and spend some time. But guess what? That's exactly where Philip is getting sent. We're told that an angel of the Lord tells him to go. And in verses 29 and 39, we're told that it's the Holy Spirit who is here speaking him and telling him what to do. And so I don't know what any of that looks like. But what we see here is that God is personally involved here in the growth and the expansion of the gospel as it's going forth from Jerusalem and then Samaria, and now it's even being going further, and God is intimately involved each step of the way with Philip. It's not an accident that people beyond its current reaches are going to get to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to hear the gospel. It's all happening according to God's plan and his deliberate purpose. And so the angel tells him to go, and what does he do? He gets up and he goes out to this road that heads towards Africa. And then we're introduced to the other person in this story. We're told that he's an Ethiopian, that he's a eunuch, that he is a court official of the Queen of Ethiopia, and that he's in charge of all of her treasures. This guy is a guy of influence. This guy is an important person. Just a side note here, Ethiopia, as we are talking about it here, is current-day Sudan in northern Africa. So it's not the Ethiopia as we would see it on the map now, but Sudan, rather. And so here's this eunuch, he's traveling out in the desert, and we're told that he's just come from Jerusalem, that he's heading home. And more than likely, he's probably a Gentile. We don't know. I've read some commentaries where they think that this guy is maybe a Jewish person also. Either way, he's an African guy. It doesn't really matter whether he's Jewish or Gentile, but he's a God-fearing man. Obviously, God is doing something in his life. And we find that he's reading from the prophet Isaiah's words as he's traveling along. And once again, what does the Holy Spirit show up and do? Like, the Holy Spirit is moving and he's speaking and he's directing and he's guiding and he's leading. And he says to Philip, I want you to go over here to this guy. I want you to get in his chariot. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, okay, here's a guy. He's pretty, looks like he's doing pretty well. He's an important guy, person of influence. I don't know him. How weird would it be for me just to go up and talk to him and say, hey, can I get in your chariot with you? Start a conversation with him. I don't know, maybe it has a lot to do with someone's personality. My kids would say, Dad, you would do that. You would just go over and talk to someone, and maybe not Noah. He'd be just like, no, I'm not talking to him. But whether it's about personality or not, Philip is a guy who is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he's obedient. He just gets up, he goes over, and he does what the Holy Spirit is telling him to do. He gets personal with him, he gets curious, he gets interested in this guy's life. And because he does so, what happens next? The guy invites him and says, hey, why don't you get in my car with me here as we go, in my chariot. He gets invited in. And the guy says, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? And the question that he asks, just by being curious, by being interested in coming alongside him, leads to and provides an opportunity for an invitation to be given, and Philip gets in the carriage with him. Things are getting personal. Things happen whenever we get involved in people's lives, whenever we come alongside and we get involved and curious and interested. God is personally involved in this whole thing. As he directs Philip out into the desert, and where there just so happens to be an Ethiopian who's traveling along out in the desert, who crosses his path, whom the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go and I want you to talk to this guy who just so happens to be reading a passage that is all about Jesus. Do you notice God's providence at work here? Not only is God working in Philip's life, but also he's working in the Ethiopian's life, and he's preparing him for this conversation, for this encounter that they're going to have with each other. It's not an accident that that's what he's reading, right? Look in verse 34 and see the question that the Ethiopian asked. Could there have been a better question? He says, who is this prophet writing about? Is he writing about himself, or is he writing about somebody else? I was thinking about this. It's like, man, this is like just setting the ball up there. This week I was out at Noah's volleyball game, and you know, in volleyball, like, he's a setter, and he's just setting it, and you want to get it at just the right place. It's like this ball is set up there perfectly for it just to get killed and slammed down there. And so this question puts, what better question for Philip to have the opportunity to tell about Jesus? It's like, here, tell me who this is that he's talking about. And Philip's like, there is no way. You just asked me to tell you about Jesus. That's what I want to do. And so he starts to tell him about Jesus, and notice what happens then in the remainder of the verses. The Ethiopian, he seems to receive the gospel right away and believe immediately. And then he says, how do I get baptized? I want to get baptized. And out in the desert, there's not water in the desert, is there? Well, there happens to be right here. And so maybe your version has a verse 37, and maybe it doesn't. But what we know is that they stop. They get out of the water, and they go, and he baptizes him right then and there. And what is the result of that? The eunuch, the Ethiopian, what does it say? That he's there and he's rejoicing. It's the same thing that was said in the earlier part of the chapter. Whenever the gospel gets a hold of some people and in a whole city, what is there? There's rejoicing, and there is joy to be found in Jesus. And so Philip baptizes him, and then who knows how it happens, but the Spirit of the Lord, we're told, carries Philip away. God's working here, and he is personally involved. And Philip, he goes away, and he continues to preach the gospel wherever he goes. And so there's the story. And so I just want to take a few moments this morning and make this personal for us in our lives this morning. All throughout this story, God is personally involved in showing us what it looks like to be sent ones who are personally involved in other people's lives. What we see in this first part of the chapter as it ends with Philip is that while the first part of the chapter is all about, like, maybe we would talk about it as a mass evangelism kind of thing, like there he is preaching and proclaiming the gospel, and there's miracles and miraculous signs and wonders happening, and a lot of people are hearing him at once. This is a different story in this part of the chapter, as he's coming and there is like some one-to-one personal evangelism happening. Here he is sitting with another person, talking out of the scriptures with him, patiently and privately about Jesus. You see, there's all kinds of ways that we can go, and that as sent ones, that we can go and share the gospel. And sometimes maybe it's in a setting like this or somewhere else where there's like this huge number of people getting to hear it at once. But I think a lot of times for us, it's in those one-to-one conversations where we get to sit and come alongside and share Christ with others. Here we see both the public proclamation and private testimony, but what's the same? The gospel's the same. The message is the same that we're sharing. And God's using and he's working through all the different methods and manners in which we do it. And so here's a few things that I want us to take note of as we make it personal for us this morning. First one is that stuck out to me this week is desert place. Desert places. And just to hear that sometimes being used by God means being taken to the desert. I'm not talking about a desert like a remote location, maybe where there's no vegetation, water, anything like that. It could be. It could be God asking you to go somewhere that maybe you don't really want to go, can't see any reason to go. This week I was sitting with the team for a first meeting that's getting ready to go to Africa, and the conversation just went the direction of, I remember when someone was saying about, I remember when I was a kid and hearing this song about, I can't remember the exact name, but something about don't send me to Africa kind of thing. Like that was the one thing. And here they are sitting in this circle and they're like, we're getting ready to go to Africa. But I know like a lot of people, I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, Jesus, I want to follow you wherever you send me and tell me and call me to go. But I've seen the pictures of Africa and slideshows, you know, back then they had the little squares that you'd project up. And it was just crazy to even think. I'll go anywhere. And here, maybe that's what Philip is sort of thinking about this. I don't know. And maybe there's somewhere that you don't want to go. Maybe there's somewhere that you don't want to be. Maybe this morning you hear desert and you're saying, really, that's where I find myself spiritually. That's where I'm finding myself emotionally, in a desert. Feeling like it's one of the most remote and isolated places, and I don't want to be here. I don't see what good there is that can come in this place. Maybe it's at your workplace. You don't want to be there. You'd like to work anywhere else. Your school, where you're at socially. Maybe you're in the desert like that, and for whatever reason, that's where God has you, and that's where you are. But don't miss this in this story this morning. Good things can happen in the desert. I wouldn't be surprised if Philip was thinking, like, why am I here, Lord? Why did you bring me here? We're not told how long he's sitting out there in the desert. But we got to remember this, that God has purpose for you there. Don't miss what God has for you there. No one said that it was going to be easy. And there are things that we learn in the hard places that we don't learn any other way. And there are things that we get to experience in those hard places that we don't get to learn any other way. And the same is true of learning to trust and be obedient to the Lord. So that's the first thing, desert places. I don't know, maybe that's something that you just need to hear this morning. And notice this, that in that desert place, notice that the Holy Spirit is working, that God's leading, that Jesus is working in the midst of this. None of this is an accident. It's all a part of God's plan that Philip is there. God was working in Philip's life, and he was working in the Ethiopian's life. The Holy Spirit is moving, he's leading, he's guiding, he's directing, and he's speaking. And I don't know what that looked like for him to get told by the angel to go there and then the Holy Spirit to show up and to say, hey, I want you to go over and to talk to this guy and get in his carriage. And then I really don't know what it looked like for the Holy Spirit just to transport him over to somewhere else. Like, how cool would that be? I know what it says, and what comes to mind for me as I read it, and I think it's pretty miraculous. And it's amazing that God does that, that he's so personally involved. I don't know, was it an impression that he had? Was it this strong sense of leading of the Lord in his life? Was it an audible voice? I don't know. But what I do know is that Philip, from being picked as one of those seven guys, that he was a guy who was full of the Spirit, that he was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he was listening for how God was going to speak to him and what he wanted him to do. So I want to encourage us, listen. Open up your ears and listen for how the Spirit is moving and what he's leading you to do. Jesus, he tells us that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you things that are to come. Other places says, don't worry about whenever you get in those places what to say. Don't worry about that. When you get there and you need to know what to say, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the right words at just the right time, and he's going to give you everything that you need to say it. Just be faithful, and so let's listen. But here's what's important. There's the desert places. There's this thing that God's working, and he's leading even in the midst of this. But also, obedience is all over this in Philip, what we see in him. We need to hear the Holy Spirit's voice speaking, but obedience is key. We have to be willing to move whenever he says move. And go whenever he says go. Look what happens whenever he goes. Things happen as he is obedient. Philip didn't know where this was going to go. But the Lord provides each step of the way, each step of the way. And then the next thing happens because of his obedience on the first thing and then the next thing. And if Philip wouldn't have been obedient to the first step, would the next steps have happened? Could they have happened? Would he have ended up sitting out in the desert with this Ethiopian telling him about Jesus and then baptizing him? I don't think that stuff happens unless the first thing happens. I think honestly that there's a bunch of us who get held up, that we're hesitant to step into those situations where the Holy Spirit is clearly telling us, I want you to go and do this stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that can happen, but I need you to first take that first step and be obedient. And be willing to go to those places that are uncomfortable. Maybe it's a desert. And we're missing out on a ton of things that God wants to do. It takes a first step. And then two more things. Do we know God's word? God's word, what is it that the Ethiopian guy is reading? It's God's word. He's reading the prophet's words. And Philip, could he have helped out in understanding what this was about and who this was about if he didn't know God's word? You know, we need to know God's word. Are we spending time in God's word? Are we learning? Are we growing in our knowledge and understanding of God's word? With the psalmist, he says this, you know, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. He goes on, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. Are we storing God's word up in our heart? I don't know if Renee's here, Renee Bingaman, but she's in our group with us, and she brings her Bible from like a long time ago. And in this Bible, she has this little pink paper. And every time I see it, I'm like, no way. I had that pink paper whenever I was in elementary school. And it's this little pink paper, it's Bible release time. Chambersburg people, yeah? Did you do this? This little pink paper that had a whole list of verses, Bible verses. And what you do is you go through and you memorize these verses and you hide them in your heart. And then you'd get to cross it off that you memorized it. And then if you memorized it, you get a free week at Camp Joyelle. And it was like good times. But I know that a lot of the word that is hidden in my heart is because of that. Maybe there's Bible quizzing and stuff for others of you guys through the years. But how important to hide God's word in your heart so that whenever you go out, you can go and tell people and help them understand because it's there. Do we know God's word? And lastly, let's make it personal. Let's be curious. Let's make it as personal in people's lives as we can. Let's be a people who care enough to get involved. You never know where it's going to go. It can be easy to keep to ourselves, but let's get involved in people's lives. Love people, care for them, encourage them. You never know where it's going to go from there. You never know what God might be doing in their lives. At that moment, he might be preparing them for what he wants you to do in their lives at just that moment. Moms, this is what you do with your kids. It's what my mom did with me. She didn't just stay off at a distance, but she got involved and she cared and she loved me. She was there for me when I was hurting. When I was young, she encouraged me. She helped me understand things that didn't make sense to me. She was present. She was available. She loved me so much, and she knew God's word. And most importantly, the most important thing that I'm grateful for is that she pointed me to Jesus. It's what I see Kristen doing with our kids. It's hard work. And it's what I see a whole bunch of you ladies doing around here. Even for those that aren't your kids, you're pouring yourself into them. I was going to say, like, Friday night, who did I see? I saw Amy Jo and Stacy. I stopped by, like, at 11 o'clock over here at the community center. And these two ladies are running around out there playing dodgeball. And I think, Stacy, you had green stuff on your face, too. I don't know what that is. But there they are, just being available and being present to get involved in people's lives, in these kids' lives. And when you do that, there's opportunities that come. You know, others of you guys are serving in other ways. I want to encourage us, let's make it personal. Let's keep on going. Let's spend time in God's word. Let's listen for the Holy Spirit's leading. Let's be available But step into people's lives and make it personal. It can make a huge difference. So much more to say, but I think that's enough on that. What if Philip had thought it foolish to go to Gaza Road at high noon? What if he had said, as he sensed the Holy Spirit saying to him, I want you to go there, and he said, nah, I don't think so. That sounds silly. I'm just going to stay right here. This whole thing wouldn't have happened. But because he was obedient, someone got to experience the joy of Jesus in their life. Who are the people with whom you're coming in contact with that the Holy Spirit is saying to you, go, let's make this personal and get involved. Let's share Jesus. Who knows what can happen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, this morning as we gather together, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Lord, I thank you for this story. I thank you for the reminder, God, of your intimate involvement in our lives. God, there's those times whenever it feels like you're really far off. And this morning especially, I just have this just this point of the desert place, God, in my heart. And I don't know, maybe there's some folks here this morning who are in that place. And the journey has been long, it's been hard, and maybe it's even for some of our moms as this whole thing of parenting is really hard and draining and tiring at times. And it could be easy just to say, hey, I don't know, I'm tired. I don't see you working. I don't see how, what you're up to here in the midst of this. God, this story, it shows us that you are so intimately involved and that you got plans, you got purpose. So help us to trust you. Help us to just keep on going and leaning into you. And Lord, help us to be a people. Maybe we just need the reminder to be willing to step into those uncomfortable positions and places with folks. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of joy, just to come alongside folks and say, hey, what's going on? What's going on with you? How can I love you? How can I care for you? How can I meet you right now? So God, help us to be a people who are faithful to what you've called us to do. Had so much this morning as we've sang, as we've gathered together to worship, Lord, where we have been reminded of your faithfulness, even in the hard places. And so, God, here we are, and we ask that you would use us. We ask that you would come, that you would fill us up with your Spirit.